And welcome Let's back to the Tuned In Podcast. Go. We're here new year, new us, new pod.
Man, I feel like it's been years.
It's time. Yeah, it's been so long.
It's been a while. How are you doing?
Doing good. Excited to start back in the new year, back into new things.
Yeah.
How about you?
Oh, man, feeling good. Don't know if I'm ready to start classes again, but I'm enjoying the break.
Yeah.
It's snowing today. It feels like our first... I mean, I guess it snowed a little before, but feels like our first real snow. I don't know. It hasn't really been.
Yeah,
that
I mean,
crazy
it melts
winter.
So fast, right? Yeah. It snowed the day after Christmas down here,
yeah,
at least, but it went away really fast. So any snow we'll get, it will take.
That's right. Well, we have a really exciting episode today. We have lots of games to talk about. Obviously, we didn't do an episode last week. You probably noticed. So we'll catch up on those games. We'll pick a player of the 2 weeks, and then we'll do our upcoming games as usual. And then we got some Jazz news to talk about, some birthdays. We'll update you on some G League guys, some how the tank's going, and we'll set some New Year's resolutions for our team. And then we'll hit the NBA news. Tons of NBA drama going on right now, trades and trade requests. So we'll get into that, and then, of course, we'll finish off with our local sports.
Make sure to check us out on Spotify, Apple, YouTube, wherever you get your podcasts. This is the Tuned In Utah Jazz Podcast. And find us on Instagram as well. We post on there occasionally on our story and join there to catch us in the conversation. Also listen to our past episodes. We've been covering the Jazz for about a year and a half now. So yeah, listen to the last couple episodes if you want to catch where the Jazz have been doing, how the Jazz have been doing, and get excited for this episode.
And this is episode 56 of Tuned In Jazz. Ooh, alrighty. It's hard to tell if I'm gaining on you or if you're gaining on me in the tracker. Kind of stayed the same.
Yeah, we both kind of went middle of the pack on our predictions. We got some good, some bad.
Yeah.
But I would say in general, things kind of went how we expected with...
Yeah, it was pretty close.
Yeah, one win, five losses.
Yeah.
So
that's what we both predicted. We didn't necessarily predict them in the right spots, but pretty close.
Yeah.
Well, lots of games to talk about, but was... Just in general, I guess, was there anything that stuck out to you this week from, or the past couple weeks, I guess, from Jazz games?
Well, I guess something that's kind of just interesting is I can look at the stats on NBA of just the past six games, going on. I think one thing that's pretty interesting is Walker Kessler has gotten 71 rebounds in six games,
sheesh,
which is double any other player.
That's wild.
On the Jazz. So, like, there's a couple games where he had a 16-rebound game. He's just been on the glass, like, crazy. I don't know if you noticed that.
Yeah.
But just a beast. And then he's had 13 blocks in the last six games. So, he's doing his thing. He's been doing those blocks all season.
He's
saw he's number two in the NBA in blocks per game.
Yeah.
And so, I don't know. Just shout out Walker Kessler, rebounding and blocking. I know it's not like every NBA fan's like, you don't watch rebounding highlights or sometimes you watch blocking highlights, right?
Yeah.
But just, man, Walker Kessler, double the rebounds of any other player on the team right now. So
Yeah, it's not super glamorous, but you can get paid a lot of money for being good at those things in the NBA.
Yep.
And honestly, once we find our guy, I think that's kind of what we're looking for. Once we find our cornerstone piece, he's going to just fit really nicely next to whoever that is, so that'll be nice.
Yeah, you could argue that Walker Kessler's been our best player
through
some stretches of the season, maybe even the stretch. I also want to say in the Brooklyn game, played pretty good defense. It's partly because it was Brooklyn. They're not they're not the best. They also traded away some people, but it didn't go too bad. Cam Johnson had a pretty bad game. He missed a lot of shots early. And so we played some pretty solid defense on him. And then not to mention, like, Keontae George didn't even play in this game.
Mm.
And Svi Mykhailiuk stepped up
and
hit four three-pointers for 18 points. And I think in the Cavaliers game, he started as well. So that next man up mentality is definitely part of our team.
Yeah.
Even when Keontae or other guys have been out. So
yeah. Well, that's what I was stuck out to me the most too. Svi, he had 18 points in this game and in against Portland, where he also started those three games. And in against Brooklyn, he was incredibly efficient. 7 for 11. The only four shots he missed were threes, which, you know, you're gonna miss threes. And then he had 18 against Portland too. Kind of makes you wonder why he's not part of the rotation. I guess he's a little older. Not really a
His potential is building piece, maxed out, right?
Yeah.
He's a good player, but
absolutely.
Yeah, for the future, not as much.
Yeah, that's a tough timing for him.
I also think that Portland game came down the wire. I don't know if you saw the ending, but Scoot Henderson just hit that layup like right at the end to win the game. Did. That was kind of a heartbreaker, that's but honestly, it's what we want, right? We want to keep tanking.
Unfortunately.
But that was a pretty exciting game. Svi did the same kind of thing where he was hitting, he hit six threes in that game.
Yeah, it's pretty wild.
Kind of beast.
Yeah, a really good game. Denver, not really that notable for the Jazz, but I'll be honest, I'm kind of a big Russell Westbrook guy, so it kind of makes me happy to see him hooping lately. He went like, I think it was like 7 for 7 against the Jazz. He had a triple-double.
Dang.
No turnovers, which is just totally not a Russell
Westbrook.
Yeah,
no, he's always the turnover guy.
10 rebounds, 10 assists, 4 steals, just... and he's been doing that a lot lately, so I'm just happy for him. I think that's awesome, even though the Jazz didn't really play that well against them. But.
Yeah, Denver was Denver. Yep. And I think Russell Westbrook in the playoffs might be hard.
Low-key.
Like when he can't shoot as well.
Yeah.
But if they could figure it out with him and Jokic,
absolutely,
they'll be in good shape. And then the last stretch so far, the Nuggets have been on kind of a hot streak.
Yeah.
What Westbrook's been helping out with that, it's been working. So I don't know how it'll work in the playoffs, though. I'm interested to see.
Yeah. Yeah, I think Jokic is still the MVP favorite. It seems like that's been like a decade. I don't know if it hasn't been that long, but he's just special.
I think your guy, Shea, he's sneaking up on that. They're winning a lot of games, too.
Yeah. Yeah, it's going to be tight. We'll see what happens.
I'll also point out Bryce Sensabaugh had a 20-point game against Philly.
He popped off
that game. And the Philly game, we were winning for a good amount of that game. We only lost by 3.
Yeah.
Portland's loss and Philly's loss felt like wins in a way.
Yeah.
Because they were close and we just took the loss at the end.
Especially with, I think, Embiid and Maxey, they both had 32.
Yeah.
If you can like withstand that and only lose by 3 with those guys combining for 60 points, I think we're in pretty good, you know, that's a pretty good, if there's such thing as a good loss, I would say that was one probably.
Yeah, I would say like if you just turn this game on with your friend who doesn't know any Jazz players, they might have thought Bryce Sensabaugh was our best player.
Like
for some stretches of that game, he was hitting some tough shots and making them. Probably one of, I don't know if it's his career high because he might have got 20 before, but one of his best games he's ever had.
Yeah.
So shout out to Bryce. I hope that he can be a little bit more consistent.
Yeah.
Because sometimes he'll be 20 points and sometimes he'll be 5 points, right? So I don't know if he could, his minutes aren't always consistent. I understand that. But if he could get like a consistent, like 10 to 12 points, that would be stellar. I think Johnny Juzang has kind of been that consistent guy more so than Bryce.
Yeah.
Where Johnny Juzang feels like he's in that rotation for now and for the future because he's just been hitting really shots good. Really well.
Yeah.
He's kind of solidified his spot, at least in my opinion.
Pretty capable defender too. So he makes you feel okay about leaving him out on the floor, you know? Yeah.
Yeah. There's been some games where Johnny Juzang gets 20 and I'm like, that's totally
Juzang
normal.
Game.
Like he's this guy like through the last 5 games, he's had a 10, 14, 6, 14, 3.
Yeah.
So a little bit more consistent with him. He's been hitting shots.
Yeah. I think to me, that's the Jazz biggest like thing right now is like, I still don't feel like it's like clear who the guys are moving forward. There's just like, I mean, yeah, we're just all over the, some games it looks like Keontae George and some games that looks like are rookies this year, and some it's like Bryce or Johnny. It's like, that's got to be really hard to try to figure out. But
I also want to point out, we've been shooting really well from three this stretch too.
Oh, really? I didn't think about that.
If you look at like the percentage, mm-hmm. Kyle Filipowski, he made 2 out of 3, 66% for him.
Let's go.
60% for Cody Williams, he's 3 out of 5. Johnny Juzang's been 11 for 22. He's 50% in this stretch. Jordan Clarkson, 45. Potter, 44. Sexton, 43. Mykhailiuk, 41. The only guys below 40% are Keontae Markkanen and Saint-Sabah and Collier.
Dang.
And I guess John Collins as well, but he's only shot 3. But anyways, like, that's very good 3-point shooting for us. Yeah. I know, like, one of the ways the Jazz are going to win some of these games, even though we're not trying to win, our team's not as talented as some of these other teams, right?
Yeah.
We get red hot from three. We're going to win a game here or there.
Absolutely.
And that's, we had through this stretch at least one win. And I think part of that was just like shooting well.
Yeah, absolutely.
So
I think maybe the stats would prove otherwise. I probably should have them pulled up. But it feels like we've been a little cleaner with the ball, especially compared to the beginning of the season. I don't know. We're still a young team, so I'm sure we're still turning it over. But that's like the same idea where it's like we're a high energy team because we're young.
Yeah.
Can we learn to like channel that into playing good basketball rather than sloppy? And so, but I do think it's a good stretch, even though it's 1-5. I know it's kind of hard to say that, but
we like 1-5 right now.
Yeah,
we're kind of okay with that.
Yes, we do.
And two like close losses too.
Yeah, absolutely.
We'll take that for sure. But I guess that means it's time to award our player of the week, or player of the last 2 weeks. And I'll be honest, looking at these box scores, watching a couple of the games throughout the time, there's two guys that deserve it, in my opinion. I don't know if you could guess who they are.
Probably Walker.
Actually, not Walker.
Rebounds,
Didn't consider him, but
interesting.
He could also deserve it. Maybe
a
three.
Walker bias guy.
I was saying Colin Sexton and Jordan Clarkson.
Oh, definitely.
Because they've both been averaging like 20 a game through the stretch.
Yeah, they're just consistent. I always forget about what they do. I feel like they just do what they do.
So I don't know. I'm kind of like in the middle between both of those guys, but I think just because he hasn't won it before.
Yeah.
First time player of the week, we're going to give it to Jordan Clarkson.
Ooh, let's go.
During this stretch, he's been hooping. I think he's been averaging over 20. He had a 27-point game against Cleveland, 25 against the Knicks, 24 against Denver, and then 17 against Philly. He's been passing really well with like about maybe 3 or 4 assists a game, playing pretty well. And not to mention, he's been getting to the free throw line about the same as Markkanen.
Yeah.
Throughout that stretch too, which is something to say because Markkanen gets a lot of points from the free throw line.
Yeah, it does.
So shout out to Jordan Clarkson,
our
guy.
Let's
He's got to win a player of the week before he potentially gets traded.
Yeah, that's what I was gonna ask. Do you think at this point he's just a Utah guy, or is it? Do you think this is the year?
I think his contract's pretty friendly for us.
Yeah,
and so if we don't get an offer from another team, that's really intriguing. I think we may as well keep him.
Yeah, honestly, it doesn't hurt.
He doesn't impact winning a ton.
No.
Like, he helps us score, but he's not going to ruin our tank.
Yeah. I feel like he played really well in his role as a sixth man on those teams.
Oh, yeah.
Just because he could provide some energy. But I just don't feel like, I mean, we don't see the things, but I just don't see him mentoring younger guys a lot on the floor, especially. As much as we would like a veteran to on our team right now, like Patty Mills or somebody like that,
right?
And he just takes a lot of shots, and
he does.
It's fun to it's fun to watch, but I don't know.
Yeah, I can definitely see him getting traded this year. It could be really, really quick.
Yeah,
but he's been a good player. I don't know how old he is. He's got to be getting up there.
Yeah, let me see. I think he's 32. It's probably got a couple more years in him. A
couple more years in the tank.
Yeah.
But shout out to Jordan Clarkson, player of the week.
Yes, sir. Well, we have 4 games coming up this week. 1 tonight, or on Saturday if you're listening to this later, against Miami. What do you feel in Miami? Kind of, we'll talk about in a moment. Miami might be a little bit of chaos right now, but what do you think? The Jazz pull off the win?
I don't know if you've been paying attention to the Miami Heat, but Tyler Hero has been like an all-star level.
Hooping right now.
He's playing better than Jimmy Butler. They're actually winning games. So because of that, I'm going to say we're going to lose by 10 on the road.
Ooh, okay.
Little medium margin right there, lose by 10.
Yeah, interesting. Interestingly enough, we play Miami two times this week. I think this is the first game after all the dramas coming out about Jimmy Butler. And even if they're playing well, I could see it being a distraction at home. I'm going to say Jazz win by 5 this one. It's okay. Just kind of a gut thing. I don't know why, but
I dig it.
I just think it could happen.
And then we stay in Florida. We're going to go play Orlando on the road.
Let's go.
Who you got for that?
Well, Orlando, they're struggling with injuries right now. I think Paolo's still out. Franz Wagner's out. Jalen Suggs he got wheelchaired off the other night or stretchered off the floor. I don't know who they still have. I mean, I know they still have some guys, but I'm going to say Jazz win a close one by 3, 2 wins in a row, and it's going to be unfortunate for the Jazz. But
I'm kind of thinking it's going to be close too, but I'm hoping for losses, I'm going to say lose by 3.
That's fair. Okay.
So still a close game, but hopefully we lose that one. But it's a very winnable game.
Yeah, absolutely.
For sure.
Absolutely.
And then Tuesday, we're coming back home to Delta Center playing the Hawks.
Yes, sir.
You know, Quinn Snyder, his return. I think he's already come back last season.
I think
but
so, yeah.
His second return or third return, I don't know.
Yeah.
Who do you got for that?
Well, this is where I think we get back to losing. We can't win 3 in a row, in my opinion. Well, we shouldn't even win 2, but I'm going to say we lose this one by 10. I think Hawks are pretty decent offensively. I think that they could catch a pretty big win on us. I'm going to say loss by 10.
Yeah, they got a lot of long arm defenders. Dyson Daniels, Jalen Johnson.
Yeah, it's going to be a lot of turnovers for the Jazz.
DeAndre Hunter. They all got long arms, yeah.
Yeah.
I got win by 7, though.
Oh, okay.
I think Delta Center gives us an advantage. I think the Hawks will come in, not know what hit them when they get there.
Yeah.
So.
And then on Thursday, we stay at home. We play at Miami again, second time this week.
Finish off the season series.
Yep, that's right. What are you feeling about this game?
I'm going to say it's a close game, but I say we'll lose by 6.
Oh, okay.
I think Miami's still a really good team.
Yeah.
So I think they could definitely get that one.
Yeah. I think you're right. I say lost by 4 is what I put. Kind of closer, but still pretty good win. Or pretty good loss. It's also going to be weird with Miami. Like, how quickly is this trade going to happen? I can't imagine it's going to drag
Butler's
out.
If Butler's there, if he's not there, are they going to fall apart? Are they going to be good? I don't know.
Jimmy Butler has a history of blowing things bigger than they need to be. So I can't imagine that they would keep him around their locker room for much longer. But
right.
So I'm going to say lost by 4. Who knows what that team will look like on Thursday. But
yeah, so I guess altogether I got 1-3 record.
Yeah.
I think you had 2-2.
Yeah.
Pretty similar.
Yep.
And then I guess just another note with that, just the tankathon update.
Yeah.
The other bad teams have been winning some games, thankfully. I don't know if you saw, the Wizards have won like 2 or 3 games in the last week or two.
Yeah.
The Pelicans beat the Wizards too. Mm-hmm. So the Pelicans finally got a loss or a win, sorry. Thinking about it backwards.
Yeah.
Charlotte's been, they've been losing quite a bit, so we need them to lose. But there's been some wins for those other teams. That I know before New Orleans won a game, I think their losing streak was 13.
Oh, man.
So it's a tough race.
Yeah. I think, so the Jazz are 4th right now, odds-wise. We kind of need to be in that top 3 because those are the 14% odds for the number 1 pick.
Right.
We're only half a game behind Charlotte, though. Or above, I guess, Charlotte.
Yeah.
Yeah, Charlotte's lost 9 in a row. Holy cow. They're pretty
bad. That's crazy. I also think having the worst record might not help.
Yeah.
This is all like superstition, right?
Yeah.
Because it's all random. But a lot of the times the number one pick, it has like a 25% chance to drop to number four. So yeah. I don't know. Take that with a grain of salt, but
yeah,
you kind of want to get maybe 2 to 3, I think is what I'm hoping for.
And honestly, I'm feeling pretty good about this draft class, to be honest. Like,
even if you're number four, you feel like you can get a good guy.
I feel like there's four really solid guys like in the draft. I mean, there's a lot of really good solid guys, but like, it seems like Yegor Demin has put himself up there, although he's been struggling lately.
Yeah.
Both the Rutgers guys and Cooper Flagg are like a very consistent top four that I see. And I would honestly feel pretty good about any four of those guys, I think. But I don't know. Probably more so the top three, but I don't know.
Yeah. I guess just put ourselves in the hat.
Yep, that's right.
Right. Keep that tank going.
That's right.
And I guess going to some Jazz news as well. Colin Sexton's birthday is today.
Yes, sir.
Just saw that on the socials this morning. So happy birthday, Colin.
Colin Sexton, let's go.
He's got like a New Year's birthday. That's kind of cool.
Yeah, that is
pretty sick. To like bring in a new year and then it's your birthday.
That's right.
So.
And he is, let's see, 26 years old.
Ooh.
Me and him are the same age.
Still
so
very young, too.
There we go.
He's still got a lot of good years left.
Yes, sir.
And then also, I don't know if you saw, but our good friend Cody Williams.
No, he's been hooping, dude.
He hooped to start off the new year.
Yeah.
What do you think of that? Do you think he's like...
Oh, man. It's like, he hit 30.
Is he figured like, out the G League now? I don't know.
Is it like 36 or something?
36, like, three assists and a rebound.
Dude, and the thing that I loved, I saw a clip where he was like running off the floor, like clapping and like... We just needed him to have some confidence, so I love it. Even if it was like a 12-point game, him hyped, I just want to see him get to believe in himself a little bit, so I think it's huge for the Jazz.
Yeah, I saw on the Jazz like Round Ball Roundup podcast, Will Hardy was talking about how they decide when to send people to G League. He says it's like a weekly thing where, based on the schedule, they kind of figure out what they need in terms of like bodies. Yeah, basically their weekly planning. And he says like he would rather have a guy spend 20 minutes in the G League than 10 minutes in a real game.
Interesting.
Because he, I don't know, I guess he feels like if you're not getting a ton of minutes in the real game, you may as well get more minutes in a G League game.
That's true.
In the same night, right?
True.
And so hopefully that is helping the players. I don't know if they would prefer.
Yeah.
If you were, I don't know, if you were Cody Williams, would you rather have like 7 minutes in a real game or like 25 minutes in a G League game?
Yeah, I think I'd rather just play on it. Most of these guys just love playing basketball. I think it also helps that like our G League team is in the same city as us. I mean, I guess that's like in West Valley, but that's not really, that's
super
like
close.
10-minute drive. But
I mean, they're traveling too.
Yeah. Oh, that's true. Yeah. But I guess it's like, it would be different if it was like we had to send them to a different, like a couple hours to get there. These guys can just pretty easily hop over there, hop on the plane with the team, you know.
And
they get to play basketball and they love the game. So, they should love the game.
Yeah, I think if I were him or one of these rookies, I would rather have the 7 minutes in the real game just because I want that. Like hard competition.
Yeah.
But I think every once in a while you want a G League game too where you can get be a starter, be the offense.
Absolutely.
I think they're both valuable.
Absolutely.
So maybe kind of a blend.
Yeah, that's true. Kind of be around. Yeah, like you especially want to be, if you're Cody Williams, you want to be around real pros too and see how they're
right.
Like. G League's just like a very competitive environment where everybody's trying to do the same thing. They're trying to get to the NBA.
Yeah, they're trying to prove themselves.
Yeah. And that's not really what Cody Williams' goal is. He's already at least has a couple years in the NBA, I think, locked in. So he's just trying
to... Yeah,
I
mean, there's some guys in the G League that are amazing players.
Yeah.
They are all-stars in the G League.
Oscar Sheebly.
And they don't make it to the NBA or they just don't get a spot. And so I don't know. It's kind of hard to analyze like what is the talent difference and what that's really like.
Yeah.
But shout out to him. 36 points in the G League. That must be a huge confidence booster.
That's
a great
hype.
Way to start off the new year for him.
That's so hype. We're starting our new, that's the Black Mountain jerseys, right?
Yes.
So those will be debuted on the 7th.
Yes, sir.
No more yellow jerseys. Let's go.
Goodbye to even the, well, I guess we still got like the white and yellow jerseys.
Oh, that's right.
Unfortunately.
I saw on Fanatics the other day, the yellow jerseys were like $10. They're just trying to get rid of them at this point.
I think it'd be funny to buy like a Mike Conley or Alexander Walker yellow jersey just because it's cheap. But
yeah, that'd be hype.
That's awesome though. Get rid of those.
That's right.
But yeah, I like the new black jerseys. Yeah, I think they're pretty sweet. So the January 7th is going to be a good game.
Yes, sir.
What game was that again?
I think that's on Tuesday, which is the
Hawks.
The Hawks.
So I don't know. Maybe you might want to switch your prediction on that one because we got the blackouts.
That's true. Lost by 9 instead of 10.
Oh, I'm just kidding. There we go. So that'll be a good game to try those out.
Yes, it will be.
But you're probably seeing the title of this episode. It's a new year. And so we've got some New Year's resolutions for the Jazz. I don't know how you want to do this. Maybe we'll just trade off back and forth. We each got some prepared for different players in the front office. So
yeah, we have we each took a couple players. Like you said, my first one's Keontae George.
It's an important one right there.
Yes, and you know what? These are New Year's resolutions. We're hoping that they stick to. These aren't going to be gone by next Friday, like our fitness goals.
But, yeah.
My goal for Keontae George: stop turning the ball over.
Ooh.
I think I know that's easier
very
said
simple,
than,
very simple.
Yes. I know that's easier said than done. I think he has a lot of talent. He has a ton of athleticism, ton of potential. But he just really has to learn how to play smart. I think if he can like limit the turnovers, I think he's an NBA starting point guard. And I think that's pretty simple.
I agree. I can't really relate, right? We don't play in the NBA.
Yeah.
But some of the other NBA players, I know one of the things they said to some of the rookies is let the game slow down.
Yeah.
I know 24-second shot clock is so fast.
Yeah.
Like the possession could go by really quick, and then you kind of feel like you have to make a pass that might not be the best pass, but I think just kind of let the game come to you. Don't try to speed it up.
Yeah.
And I think that could help. And also he's been better this season than last season. So he's already starting to get better at taking care of the ball. He's never really been a starting point guard because in like college and before he was kind of more of a shooting guard.
Yeah, absolutely.
So we already see some really good improvement this year. I think we could see more as well.
Absolutely.
I got Cody Williams' New Year's resolution.
Let's go.
Just kind of talked about this, but my resolution for him is keep shooting with confidence.
Ooh, I like that.
I know his percentages are low.
Yeah.
He misses a lot of shots, but I think where he's our 10th pick, we've got all the investment possible into this guy.
Yep.
Cody Williams, you are literally our franchise right now. We're willing to do whatever we can for you. And so I'd say for him, just keep shooting with confidence. Find the shots you like and just be that guy.
Yeah.
Don't kind of give up the shots to other guys. To kind of take those for yourself. Be a little bit selfish on the court.
Yeah.
Is what I'm hoping for him.
Yeah, I totally agree. I think Danny Ainge needs to go slap a bonus on the Stars coach desk and say he needs to be taking at least 15 shots and this is yours. Because or maybe 15th high, I don't know. But Bryce Sensel, I feel like the only reason he's still in the NBA is because he like learned some confidence in the G League.
Yeah, he's always been a scorer.
Yeah, and so Cody Williams needs that. I like that goal. It's a good one. My next one's Walker Kessler. This one's a little tougher for me.
He's kind of done what we asked of him.
Yeah, he has.
I think last season we did this, he was on the New Year's resolution.
I think so.
And we said kind of the same, have more confidence.
Yeah.
Do you think he's done that?
I really do feel like he has. I think it's still something he needs to work on. But my New Year's resolution for him, which is going to sound funny having the week he's had, but I want to see him become a consistent double-double guy.
Yeah.
And obviously, the rebounds, I think he's averaging 11 and a half this year or something like that. He's doing pretty good rebounds. But scoring the ball, he hasn't been super... It's been really up and down.
He's missed a game there, here or there, yeah.
Yeah. So I would just love to see him be a DeMontis Sabonis at the very least. I mean, I know that's like a big bar, but like a guy that just does what he does. And of course, he's going to keep blocking shots. He's already good at that.
Honestly, like Zubac on the Clippers, he's been a pretty good double-double guy this season.
Exactly.
But I mean, he kind of gets spoon-fed the ball. Yeah. So some of the scoring, some of that scoring is James Harden.
Yeah.
So I like that for Kessler though, because we know what he can do rebounding wise. He's been showing that. We know what he can do defensively.
Yeah.
And he's even been decent guarding on the perimeter.
Yeah, he's not bad.
It's not been terrible. But I think you're exactly right. It's offense for him, and I love that for him.
Yeah.
All right, I also got John Collins. This is kind of a joke, but...
Let's go.
John Collins' New Year's resolution, sell your house.
Let's go.
Check honestly, out Zillow. Be ready to move, because, like, honestly, I don't know if... We looked at this before the episode, but John Collins has honestly been our best player in 2K. He's the highest overall in the Jazz now.
Yeah.
He's been 50, 40, 90 to start the season, 18 a game.
Yeah.
Man, he's been hooping. He's making a lot of money, though. That's the only thing. The only reason why teams don't want him is because of his contract. But, man, John Collins has been amazing this year. Yeah. More. He's done more this year than I would have expected or asked of him. And so I'd say for him, just sell your house. Like, be ready to move, because it might happen.
Yeah, I agree. I'm hoping that he's played well enough that we can trade him without having to like give up a pick to get somebody to take him off our hands. You know?
Yeah, I'm hoping he would be a first round pick for us in the trade.
I think so. I could see it. Yeah. And I don't know where he would fit, but I think, that's a good, for his sake and ours, I think he's playing good basketball. He deserves to be in a better situation.
Right.
He's probably somewhere near his peak. I know he had some good years in Atlanta, but
I think he could go to the Warriors. Give them good minutes, or
he could fit somewhere like that.
Somewhere like that, where they're kind of maybe 6 to 10 seed in their conference. Yeah, I think that's the right spot.
Absolutely. Okay, and then that takes me to my front office, Danny Ainge, New Year's resolution.
Good old Danny.
I think this is the biggest one for me. The Jazz need to find a cornerstone piece. I personally don't believe that we have him on our team. Maybe that's a hot take. I don't think it's Lowry. We need to, whether it's in the draft, whether it's like trading this offseason, it's time. We got to find somebody to build around, because I don't know what we're doing right now. So that's my find our cornerstone piece. That's mine for our team.
I like it. Mine's pretty similar. Get a top three lottery odds.
Yes, sir.
Be in the bottom three in the league.
Yep.
And I think that could coincide with hopefully getting a cornerstone piece with a top three odds and the lottery pick. So.
Yeah.
But I guess just I like the idea of what you said, cornerstone piece. How many guys have the Jazz even had that you would consider a cornerstone piece?
Yeah.
Because I would say Donovan Mitchell was.
Yeah.
I don't know if he... It felt like we were this close to a championship.
I think so.
And maybe we just need a little bit more.
I think if we would have waited a little longer, we might have.
I guess we'll see if Donovan Mitchell is able to carry the Cavs to a championship. But he's like on the fringe of like being able to really take them all the way. I don't even think Gordon Hayward was really a cornerstone piece, even though he was our best player for a couple years.
I think he was starting to become that, but like right when he was becoming that,
he left right after he could have. Of course, John Stockton and Malone both were. Yeah. Like that was extremely lucky for us.
I feel like Darren Williams was for a time.
You would say so.
A guy you could build around.
Boozer, was he a cornerstone piece to you?
Yeah, maybe. He just didn't really want to be here, so
I don't know if he was either.
Kind of tough. I think the hard thing for the Jazz, I think you could make the argument that the Jazz have never really had a real cornerstone piece, because like...
Maybe except Carl or John.
Yeah. I just think the Jazz have never had a number one pick. They're probably one of only a couple teams in the NBA who've never in their history had a number one pick. We've never just had that guy that was like, Carl's probably the closest where he was just the best in the league.
Yeah.
Like Donovan Mitchell was never really that close to being best in the league. Neither was Darren Williams.
Like you could maybe say there's 10 guys, maybe 15 at most, that mm-hmm. you in the league that I would say are cornerstone pieces. Yeah. The Lakers, they're getting old, but they have two of them, I'd say.
Yeah, I think
right?
so.
And the Jalen Brunson's kind of turned into one. Mm-hmm. Just all of a sudden, it kind of got lucky on yeah. the Knicks part.
And if you look at all the past champions, I think you could argue that they all have had like Jokic, Giannis,
Tatum.
I mean, of course, Steph. Like
Dirk, when he won his,
Dirk,
right?
Yeah.
Tim
it's
Duncan.
Hard to win one without a top 10 guy. You know, it's hard to win a championship without that guy. So,
yeah, hopefully I think you're right. I think we could have like a fun team mm-hmm. and be like a sneaky playoff team without a cornerstone piece.
Yeah.
But I think if we're really going to try and win a championship, we got to have a guy.
Yeah.
So I don't know if Cooper Flagg's a guy.
Yeah.
Or Ace Bailey or Dylan Harper. But hopefully at least one of those three.
I hope so.
That's kind of what I'm hoping for.
I think the hard thing, too, is like we're not going to get a guy, a cornerstone piece to come in free agency in Utah. I mean, maybe that's pessimistic. I just don't see it happening. So we kind of have to roll the
Unless
dice.
Unless it's AJ DeBonsa, maybe.
That's true. That's true.
In the future, if he loves Utah.
Yeah. So we kind of have to roll the dice with guys like Cooper Flagg and the Rutger boys over there.
Right.
So hopefully it works out. We'll see what happens. But
yeah. Well, hopefully those New Year's resolutions are not your fitness goals this year,
yes.
like you said.
Yes.
And those happen. We don't give up on them after a week.
Yes.
Love all the Planet Fitness ads at the
yeah,
New Year's
right.
resolution. That's fun. But
yep.
We'll hope those come to happen.
Yes, sir. Lots of NBA news happening this week. Obviously, we talked about it a little bit, but Jimmy Butler is blowing things up in Miami.
They suspended him for 7 games for yep. just not wanting to play or yeah. not wanting to be there, I guess.
I honestly kind of think Jimmy Butler's kind of a funny guy. It just reminds me of when he was in Minnesota and he like was like yelling at his GM in practice, and he did the same thing in Philly. I guess this is just how he does things. I don't know.
Yeah.
But it seems like he loved Miami.
I thought Miami was his like final destination.
Seems like he loved it. Yeah.
I thought he like
took
was
him to the finals
there.
Twice. Didn't win, obviously, but
played really well.
Went to the Eastern Conference Finals 2 other times, I believe.
Yeah. So I guess he wants out now.
Yeah.
I think the best spot for him, honestly, is the Suns.
I could see it.
I've known them to be in the rumors. I don't know what they would trade for him, though. I think it'd have to be one of their big three.
Yeah.
So I maybe it's Bradley Beal for Jimmy Butler.
Yeah.
But I don't know if the Heat really want to do that.
I could see one team I've been eyeing just because I know that theirs is a little shaky too is the Kings. I don't know how well if he even wants to play in Sacramento, he probably doesn't, but De'Aaron Fox wants out. I know I've heard some rumors about
that. Just fired Mike Brown.
Yeah. So I could see some deal surrounding De'Aaron Fox. I'm not sure. He'd probably have to throw somebody else in to make, well, I don't know how that would work, but.
Or DeMar DeRozan.
Yeah, maybe DeMar.
Kind of a swap.
Yeah.
DeMar for Jimmy.
Jimmy would be an interesting fit next to like Sabonis and Keegan Murray. Those guys would fit nice next to him, I think.
Yeah. I would love that, honestly. I hope.
Yeah.
I hope he goes somewhere like the Kings.
Yeah.
I know the Warriors were also a place he would be open to.
Warriors, I feel like Warriors are just in trade talks with everybody. I feel like, and
they just need something.
Yep. But the Warriors are like never willing to give anything up. So I hope that. And you know what? The thing is, Pat Riley's he's probably like the only one that's crazier than Danny Ainge when it comes to trades, because he won't just give Jimmy Butler up for a bag of peanuts.
He'll be stingy.
Yes, he will. Yes,
but
he will.
I guess we'll see where he ends up. Don't know how this is going to turn out, but it looks like he doesn't want to be there. He might not even play for them.
Last night he got suspended for 7 games.
Yeah, yep.
I think I saw something last night. He's gonna lose like $3.4 million in those 7 games.
It's crazy.
And I think the Players Association is suing the Heat for those games. So we'll see if that stands. But
interesting,
crazy.
And then we finally got. Well, I guess technically the second trade.
Yeah.
But.
Yeah.
Yeah, big trade. Lakers Nets. D'Angelo Russell heads back to the Nets.
Yep.
And then De'Aaron Finney-Smith goes to the Lakers, and then some other guys as well. But
yeah.
Who do you think won the trade?
I don't know. I kind of am thinking that De'Aaron Finney-Smith's going to be a good fit on the Lakers, but at this point with the Lakers, I'm kind of just like, I keep thinking that, and it just keeps not working out. So,
right.
Who knows? I'm happy for D'Lo. It seems like he enjoyed playing in Brooklyn before. Him and Ben Simmons were high school teammates at Montverde, oh. I believe. So I don't know. I don't think they're going to be a great duo because Ben Simmons is not that great anymore. But I don't know. I'm kind of middle of the road on this trade. What are you feeling?
I'm kind of middle of the road too.
Yeah.
If I'm thinking like trying to predict at least this season, maybe next season for the trade, I think Dorian Finney-Smith might help the Lakers win a couple more games this year. Maybe be a little bit more competitive, but I don't think he's really pushing the envelope too much. So, I mean, if the Lakers wanted to win a couple more games, sure.
Yeah.
They might do that. And then for the Nets, like, they might also win a couple more games.
Yeah,
but maybe. I don't know. D'Angelo Russell might kind of just keep it even.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. Maybe I'd say the Nets win this trade, like, narrowly.
Yeah.
Just because I think D'Lo could be a decent piece for them for the future and a little bit of trade value if they ever wanted to flip him again.
Yeah. I think this is the trade for the Lakers you make if you're like this is one of those trades you make at the deadline if you're a contender and you just need one more piece. But I don't think the Lakers are a contender.
Yeah. I think they just want to try and win as many games as possible with LeBron. And if it's like, instead of being the 8th seed, we're going to be the 5 seed.
Yeah,
that's kind of what this trade is, I feel like.
Absolutely. LeBron turned 40 this week. Pretty crazy.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure his birthday was on the New Year's Eve.
I think so, yeah.
It's kind of a cool birthday for him, too.
He scored like 30 the next night. It's just crazy to see what he's doing, obviously. We talked about Jalen Suggs getting injured. Jaden Ivey also got injured. We were talking earlier, same injury as Hendricks, right?
Yeah, fibula in like his ankle or leg.
Pretty nasty injury live, too. Did you see it?
Yeah.
It just rolled into his leg and it just buckled.
Hard injuries. It sucks when like they have to like be rolled off the court in a stretcher.
Yeah.
It sucks. And Jaden Ivey's been having a really good season.
Yeah, he has.
He's been hooping. He's been probably averaging more points this season than he has before. Pistons are actually winning games, right? I don't know how they'll do without him, but
yeah. I was feeling really good because I made that fantasy trade. I traded away Chet for Dame and Ivy, and I was like, oh, let's go. I mean, I'm not happy that Chet got injured, but I was like, I definitely won that trade. And now it's just Dame left from the trade.
I guess you still won the trade.
I guess so, yeah. Yeah, but really unfortunate, even if he won.
Yeah, same for Suggs, too. He's been really good. I hope he gets back soon.
I think so, yeah, hopefully.
I don't know how bad his injury was.
Yeah, his was like I was watching in real time. It was like a non-contact injury, kind of like Hendricks. But he was just grabbing his back and he was on the floor. They brought out like a kind of a stretcher wheelchair thing. Had to wheel him off the floor. So it didn't look very good, but you never know. Could just be back spasms or something.
Yeah, it looks like, at least on this article, it says it was just back spasms.
Okay. I guess those can be pretty bad.
It can be pretty bad. Yeah. So I think he'll be back.
He'll probably be back, yeah. So. Oh, good for him. I'm happy for him. How's your fantasy team doing? We actually play each other this week.
Oh yeah, I mean we're pretty neck and neck. I think
we are. I think it's 5-4.
Yeah,
yeah.
They've been pretty good. Jimmy Butler's on my fantasy team, so that sucks because he's just out now for a while. He's also been playing very mid.
Yeah,
but also I've got Cam Johnson on my team, and he's been a bucket. He's almost averaging 20.
Let's go.
Probably. The biggest riser right now is Desmond Bane. He's been playing very mid, and now he's actually starting to get 20-point games like more consistently.
Yeah,
so
let's go.
They're like doing all right, but I'm sure everybody's team's doing about as good as mine, so it's just kind of trying to get that edge.
Yeah, absolutely.
I picked up Chris Dunn.
Let's go.
Just because he gets 2 steals a game, so.
Yeah. I moved Jaden Ivey to my IR, although I probably should just drop him, but I picked up Grady Dick. He's been balling this season.
He's been scoring a lot, shooting a lot of threes.
So he's helped me with points a little. He turns the ball over quite a bit, but I guess that's what a young player does. So that's what we're seeing with the Jazz, but kind of fun. I think we're towards the top of the league too. I think I was second last time I checked, and you're like third or fourth. And so we're we're right there at the top. Obviously,
yeah, it's a good season. I feel like I got a couple steals in the draft. Like I got Tyrese Maxey in like the 28th pick.
That's a big steal. He's been hooping too.
Yeah, he's been like really good for a 28th pick.
Yep.
And then I got Zubac like off the waivers, and he's been averaging like top three in rebounds. So
let's go.
Yeah.
Yes, sir. Utah Hockey Club, 17-15-6 currently. I wish I knew if that was good or not. I mean, I do know that it's pretty good, but looks like we're still probably in the hunt for the wild card spot.
Yeah, we had a 5-game losing streak, which kind of sucked.
Yeah, that's rough.
But before that, we were right there in the wild card.
Yeah.
As of right now, we're 4 points out.
Okay.
So not too bad if we win a few games. Vancouver Canucks, they're in that last wild card spot with the Dallas Stars. So
we're just
kind of hanging around that.
And I think we're not really halfway through the season. We're almost there. I think there's 82 games too.
Yeah.
So we're almost, I think we're at like 40 games, maybe 30 something. So we still got some time. That's a good spot to be in if you're a new team trying to figure things
coming
out.
Coming up, we have 7 home games in a row.
Oh, sheesh.
Two.
Let's go.
I don't know why that is. Maybe the Jazz are going on a long road trip.
Yeah, interesting.
So that'll be pretty good. Maybe we could get some wins just having that big homestand.
Yeah, that's hype. BYU basketball plays Houston tonight.
Mm-hmm.
Big game. Houston's ranked number 14 or maybe 12. I can't remember. Top 15.
Yeah, they're always
good. We played them really close last year when we played them. I think we played them on the road last year, but we're on the road this time.
It's going to be tough to win there. At least if we lose, it's not by too many points.
Yeah. Yeah. Yegor Demon's been struggling. I mean, I guess struggling's a big word. I don't think he's really been struggling. He does help our team a lot. It just seems like he's a little scared to shoot sometimes. Or not scared, but he's so pass first that he's like passing out of good shots, which is not what we want. And so hopefully he can get going. That's probably the key of the game, I think.
Yeah, and then we did do well against Arizona State.
Yep.
They couldn't make a shot at the beginning of the game. And we could make a shot, and so could Richie Saunders. He had his biggest game ever.
Richie.
30 points, yeah.
Yeah, that was huge.
Since our last episode, the Alamo Bowl happened.
Oh, man, that was a fun game.
Yeah, shout out to the BYU for crushing the Colorado Buffaloes.
Yep.
About more points than anybody thought we would. I think we weren't even favored in that game.
Yeah.
People didn't think we could win, but we showed them.
Yeah, it was I think I keep seeing the graphic posted around 8 million viewers.
Wow.
Which is the highest in Alamo Bowl history.
That might be higher than some college football playoff games. I don't know. Maybe close.
Seriously, like 8 million, it's crazy.
That's higher than a lot of NBA games.
Mm-hmm. If you watched it, you wouldn't have thought that BYU's winning. The announcers were pretty Colorado focused, which is okay. But
yeah, they had their script to talk about Colorado.
Yeah, but we get it. It gets views. We get that. But really fun game. I thought our defense just showed up so nicely, and our offense complimented them this game, which
interceptions, sacks, pass breakups.
Yeah, there was like that one drive where they got down in the red zone and BYU sacked them for like minus 17 or 18 yards, put them out of field goal.
Yeah, that was crazy.
It was wild.
Our D line is fast.
Yeah, they are.
Like,
I'm gonna
he couldn't
miss
run
Tyler
from
Batty.
Them, yeah.
Yeah. So we got a lot of our linebackers are coming back, especially with the new rule about JUCO years. Jack Kelly and Glasgow, I believe, are coming back.
We also got that transfer from Utah for the D line.
Yeah, their best defensive player pretty much.
Yeah.
Keanu Tanavasa. He's going to be pretty good. So, have you been watching the college football playoff games? Not too many exciting games so far.
Yeah, just here and there.
Yeah.
I was hoping that some of the upsets would happen. Boise State couldn't
too.
Do it.
Me
Indiana
too.
Couldn't do it. SMU couldn't do it. So, we're all left with the top teams.
Arizona State was close. They almost had them.
Yeah, they almost did.
Hit them on the ropes, but
I'd probably say I'd go for Texas from here on out just because of Steve Sarkisian, our BYU alum.
That's the only
real connection I got left in any of those teams. So I'm probably rooting for them to win it.
That's fair. I think Man, it's tough from here, but I think Ohio State, that was an impressive win against Oregon.
Yeah, they're going to be hard to beat.
Although Notre Dame did beat down on Georgia pretty good. I don't know. I think it's going to be Notre Dame and Ohio State. That's my prediction in the championship, but
yeah, I'm probably there with you.
It could go anyway, honestly. Pretty crazy.
Well, thank you for listening to this episode of the Tuned In Jazz podcast. And thank you for sticking with us through this season. I know it's a tough season for some fans, but there's light around the corner and it's a new year. Make sure to check out our past episodes. We've talked about the different games that have happened this year, some of the draft prospects we're looking forward to. And make sure to follow us on Spotify, Apple, YouTube podcasts, wherever you can find a podcast. And we hope you enjoy the new year and take care.
Peace.